Please pray with me. Almighty and ever-living God, the source and perfection of all virtues, please grant that I may employ myself in what is just and preach what is true, so that in my preaching and in my ministry I may provide for your faithful people the teaching that brings them grace. Amen. Amen. The Lord told Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Have you ever thought, how could anyone ever love me? How could anyone ever love me? We may have even said that through tear-laden eyes, that nobody loves me. Why should they? I'm not attractive enough. I'm not wealthy enough. I'm not funny enough, or I'm not smart enough. Such thoughts happen because it's hard for us to be truthful to ourselves, because were we to be truthful to ourselves, we would have to face up to the fact that we're not as good as we think we are, or we might actually be better than we think we are. We might actually be better than we think we are. Whenever self-doubt, depression, and failure happen, it's easy to feel as though we're not loved, and let the poor, poor, pitiful me emotions keep us from seeing and embracing this eternal reality. Someone does love you very, very much. Someone does love you very, very much. And when we pray, when we truly pray, during those times the Holy Spirit gives us wisdom, direction, and peace, which shows us the love Jesus Christ has for us. A love that means our failures, our shortcomings, and even our difficult childhoods are all opportunities for God to strengthen us and to show us how truly gifted we are, how truly blessed we are, and how much we are truly loved. My first homiletics, that is, preaching professor, the late Reverend Dr. Jack Heinzen, blessed me with a bit of wisdom that when I have shared it, has irritated some of my fellow priests. In class, Dr. Heinzen would regularly remind us, any idiot can babble on for 20 minutes or more and say very little. It takes a lot of preparation to give a meaningful sermon in under 15 minutes. But apart from that, Dr. Heinzen's life as a child and as a young adult is proof that God miraculously transforms the lives of ordinary, even rejected people into beacons of grace, love, and hope in order to transform a dark world. Because God knows that each and every one of us, even before we were formed in our mother's wombs. Jack's parents were vaudeville performers, which caused him to spend the first 9 months of his life traveling through every state west of the Mississippi. His mother died while he was very young, and Jack's dad did the best he could to provide for both of them as vaudeville's popularity continually declined. Unable to find sufficient work at the age of 11, Jack and his dad performed with various circuses, and that is where Jack discovered he was multi-talented, and for 10 years he performed as a trapeze artist and also as a clown. The hours he worked with the circus were long, hard, and abusive. And then one day, God intervened in his life through some very hospitable people as he traveled through South Carolina on his way to Florida to join yet another circus. These people recognized something in Jack, convinced him to attend Erskine College, and even arranged for his tuition to be paid. While there, Jack accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, felt called into ordained ministry, completed his bachelor's and master's of divinity degrees, and was ordained. People welcomed Jack into their lives. Loving, caring, hospitable actions that enabled Christ to use Jack to have positive influences in the lives of other people, not only within his own denomination, but also through many other denominations as well. His story, greatly abbreviated, is only one miracle proving that through practicing Christ-like hospitality and welcoming the peculiar person, you don't get much more peculiar than a trapeze artist and a clown, in our midst, lives can be positively changed, which is a biblical truth affirmed through the prophet Jeremiah and the psalmist, who tells us that God formed us, God consecrated us, and God appointed us to do the work he is calling us to do. Three truths that negate the demonic question, how could anyone ever love me? Since Holy Scripture reveals to us that God, our Heavenly Father, loves us and meets us where we are, how could anyone not love you? How could anyone not love you? How could anyone not love someone God formed and strengthened in their mother's womb? Unfortunately, some people do not show love, and they just do not love, which causes doubt and depression to invade our hearts and minds. However, with God's help, such thoughts can be tamed when we walk with Christ, when we pray with words, and when we pray with holy silence and embrace those who are different from ourselves. The prophet Jeremiah walked with the Lord, and during their conversations, God told him, "Before I formed you in the womb, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." 10 words with a 10-star rating, because they are proof God knew you, blessed you before you were conceived. Just think about that. The psalmist reaffirms this blessing. "You are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence since I was young. I have been sustained by you ever since I was born. From my mother's womb, you have been my strength. My praise shall always be of you." God has known you, blessed you, and appointed you to do at least one thing, at least one thing for the kingdom of God, even before you took your first breath. If you haven't discovered it, it's never too late. For me, there's actually a void in my life I've been struggling with for a while. I'm seeking guidance to fill it, and it may even be something I do not feel worthy of doing or do not even feel qualified to do. And that's absolutely all right. That is okay. Because Moses, Jeremiah, and many other prophets didn't think that they were prepared to do the Lord's work, and yet they did, and they succeeded in spite of themselves and in spite of their failures. When we walk with the Lord, God listens to our excuses. God will not let our failure consume us when we're doing his will, and God will gently touch our lips when we begin to talk back to him, and he will say to us, "I have put my words in your mouth," not only to pluck up and pull down, but also to build and to plant. Jesus Christ isn't in the business of tearing something down for the sake of it. Not tearing down something for the sake of it. Christ only tears down that which is keeping a church, a ministry, or a person from being planted, nurtured, and built up as a church, a ministry, or a person who walks with Jesus Christ and follows in his ways. What all this means is that you are always loved. You are always loved, even when you feel that you are unlovable. And it also means you have been blessed and appointed for some glorious purpose. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, please come upon us. Fill our lives with your peace. We are redeemed by your sacrifice. We are saved from our sins because of your love. God, help us to be all that you created us to be. Amen. And a question for you. How can you help someone become everything they're called and blessed to be by showing them the love of Jesus Christ in you? How can you help someone become everything they're called and blessed to be by showing them the love of Jesus Christ in you?